a lesson. I like songwriters. And I especially like songwriters who sing their own music. Because as far as I can tell, it gives me an insight on what the person is really like. Good morning. Did you have a birthday between August 1st and 15th? Okay, well, good. You didn't miss happy birthday then. We'll make sure. And I like people that write their songs, sing their songs, because if you look at the body of what they write, you get a good idea of what that person is. For instance, one of my favorites, songwriter singers, Neil Diamond. And there's, you know, about three songs, very autobiographical. Anyway, talks about himself. And, you know, Brooklyn Roads tells about where he was born, I Am, I Said, when he moved. And A Beautiful Noise was the sounds that he heard outside of his apartment growing up. One of my other favorites is Guy Clark. Probably no one's ever heard of him. I've seen him 14 times in concert. And he's one of the greatest songwriters, I think. And he grew up in Monahans. And if you've ever been through Monahans, it's a nothing town. Well, he grew up there, and in 1947, the big attraction in Monahans, Texas, was that a brand new streamlined diesel train was going to come through town. Now, it wasn't going to stop. It was just going to come through town. And so in his song, which is absolutely true, all the people came down and they had little picnics and they were on their cars just to see this new streamlined diesel train come down the track. So Guy Clark says, you know, look out, here she comes, she's coming, look out, there she's gone, going down the tracks like a Texas cyclone. But what makes it memorable to him, he says in his song, was that he put a nickel on the track and the train ran over and flattened it. He also wrote a beautiful song about Randall Knife. And Randall, I know nothing about knives, but a Randall Knife is supposed to be a great knife. And he took his daddy's Randall Knife out and was throwing it in the trees and he broke off a tip of the blade. And the daddy wasn't too upset, but he put the knife away because it no longer functioned. And Guy Clark writes that when his daddy died, he said, I didn't shed many tears at his funeral, but my heart burned for that Randall knife. And when I went home and got into the bottom of the drawer and got that Randall knife out, then he talks about how the tears began flowing. Of course, one of the greatest writers, if not the greatest songwriter, and he is Bob Dylan. I might have mentioned his name somewhere. I'm not positive. I tend to forget, you know. So Bob Dylan, in The Revolution of the Young People, he wrote that the old robe that you're in is beginning to age, and if you can't lend a hand in the new road, get out of the way because the time they are a-changing. And for the civil rights, one of the greatest songs, Blowing in the Wind, where he asked 9 questions. 3 of the questions is, how long must a mountain exist before it goes to the sea? How long must some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can you turn your head before you listen to people cry? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. And my favorite, positively 4th Street, is that he had a relationship with somebody he really liked. And this person made him mad, so he writes this song about meeting them on the streets. And he says, you used to be my friend, and so forth. He ends it up by saying, and this to me is classic, I wish for just one time you could stand in my shoes, and at that moment, I could be you. Yes, I wished for just one time you could stand in my shoes and know what a drag it is to meet you. Well, that's pretty good. Seems a little cruel, but wait till you come to one of the Psalms we're going to talk about. So as much as I love Bob Dylan, and I've only seen him 10 times in concert, I have every record, every book that's ever been published. Today, we're going to look at the Psalms of David. Because if I like songwriters, song singers, because I get a look at their life, at their body of work, certainly David is one that we certainly get the body of his work and what his life is. Now, first of all, I need someone to look up my favorite text in the Bible, 1 Kings 14:8. Somebody look that up for me. Alright, let's look at David's life. Somebody give me a summation of what you think David's life is like.
Warrior.
Warrior? Good or bad?
Good.
Good, yeah. He delivered when he was young. He killed the big giant that everybody was scared of. What other things did David do?
Man after God's own heart.
Well, we're going to read 14:8. You bet he is. What else did he do?
Adulterer.
Oh! Adulterer. Now, see, I love having pastors in your class. You know, I just love having pastors in. So, let's put him to the test. Are we putting him to the test?
We sure think that pastor's an adulterer.
No. I was separating the two. You're on the church board. Would David have a hard time in his kingly life of getting on the church board here in Arlington? Oh, I forgot. We accept anybody. There would be some churches.
Might be problematic.
So we got him as a warrior, as an adulterer. What else? A murderer.
A
thief. What else? Pardon?
King.
Good or bad king?
Both.
Thank you. What else?
A shepherd?
Yep, that's good. What else?
He was able to take constructive criticism and recognize himself as that's a big thing.
Yeah, we'll give him that. How about parenting? Would he teach the Arlington parenting school?
No.
He had some rotten kids. See? So, when we go to Psalms, we want to keep in his writings what his life was like, because you write from your own experience and the way that you look things. Now, I've handed out, I think, 6 cards. Somebody read card number 1. Stand up nice and loud.
Psalms 1:1, 2, and 3. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instructions, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in seasons, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Okay, right, first song out of here. I don't know if it's in chronological order. I doubt it. But one of the first songs in there is Happy is the Man, and he goes through the contrast of doing bad and doing good. What's the conclusion on the which is the best way? Doesn't that seem kind of obvious? But what about our lives? You know, I told one of my grandchildren of 23, I guess about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was talking a little bit about church, and I said, well, Justin, the only thing I can tell you is I've tried it both ways. I've tried it without God, and I've tried life with God. And I found out that life with God was a lot more simpler, a lot more easier, still had problems, but it was the choice to do. Now, when David wrote, Happy is the man that follows God's instructions, was this being poetic? Or was this being from his experience? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, when we talk about worship, and this is what this lesson is on, and if my good friend the pastor stays around long enough, we're going to go get to music in our worship. See, I really like him. I give him warnings. We are. See, when it comes to worship, there's a formality that we go through. And if we're not careful, that formality just goes through stage every single week. When David wrote this psalm, a direct contrast between evil and between good, because if there's anybody in the Bible we know the most about, it's David. And boy, if we were going to draw a line of his spiritual journey, we'd be all over and up and down the map. And so when we come to worship, when we come in our daily worship, and also when we come on our Sabbath worship, I think one of the things that should motivate us is to think about what our life has been in the past and the way that God has worked, or when we suffer and go out and do the things that aren't correct, the things that we suffer from a natural consequence. So David starts out the Psalms with, happy is the man who follows God's instructions. I like the word instruction. King James is the law. So we tend to say, ha-ha, see there, when you follow the Ten Commandments. Well, that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is chapter is talking about when you follow the instructions, or as I like to say, when you're walking with God in a relationship, then happy you are. When you walk outside of that relationship, that's not such a good journey. And how many of you are in First Church? I just have to say this, because I cannot say any other. We are all, saved or unsaved, children of God. Do not ever lose sight of that. If you don't, if you need to go look in Hosea. In Hosea 11, where God says, I raised you, I taught you how to walk, I fed you, I held you in my arms, I've got to let you go. So, if you've been First Church, we're all children of God. Okay. So here in Psalms, we have a contrast immediately. What good words of wisdom. Happy on one side, sad on the other. Bob Dylan went through a period where he became a Christian. He didn't believe in God. He believed in Jewish, and then he became a Christian. One of his greatest albums is Railroad to Heaven. And in that song, he got it perfectly. He wrote a song that says, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you got to serve somebody. We think a lot of times that we can sit on the fence. But that never happens. Because you either serve the devil or you serve God. No in between. Hi, who's got the second one? Yes.
Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Okay, what a powerful testimony coming from a person whose life is laid bare in the Scriptures. Wow. When I was under transgression, how happy was he?
He was miserable.
And there was God Even to the point that David says, hey, you kind of laid your hand on me. Yes, because when you're in the depths of sin, when you're in the pit, when you wandered far from God, that's when He works the hardest from you, for you. And so here's David speaking out of experience. He had a lot of experience being a chief of sinners. But he said, man, when I had transgression in my life, I was not happy. I found no peace. But what did he say happened when God forgave him? That happiness comes back. This is a Psalms from experience. How about your life? Don't answer out loud, but have you ever wandered down a different path? Have you ever gone out to do things your own way? Have you ever said, Lord, I don't need you anymore? Just stop and think, what was your life like? Oh, you might have been laughing on the outside. You might have been having a good time. But what was it like? You know, the funny thing about sin is we cannot explain it. Ellen White makes a statement that says, if you can explain sin, you can excuse it. If there is a natural reason for sin, then there's an excuse for it. But there is none. Because it simply doesn't make sense. So David again, saying, listen to me, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Third one.
I sought the Lord. This is Psalms 34, 4 and 8. I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him.
Wow, what a powerful statement. This poor, read one, this poor man did what?
He cried and the Lord heard him.
That's His promise to you. Don't care where you're at today in your spiritual journey. I hope that it's way up here. I pray it's not way down here. But if it is, that's a promise to you. Because that's why the life of David is in there, despite everything he did. Who's got 1 Kings 14:8?
And tore the kingdom away from the house of David to give it to you. Yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my sight.
See, that's His promise to you. No matter how low you are, the poorest of poor, if you'll cry out to Him, He will forgive, will love, will hug, and He will treat you as if you've never made a mistake. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, so far, everything is very positive. Correct? Okay, now number four, hold on to it. We're going to an interesting prayer. Now, I got to ask you, on Positively 4th Street, when Bob Dylan was very unhappy with a former friend, and you got to listen to the whole song, he just brilliantly knocks that person apart, and then he says, you know, I wish for just one moment you could stand in my shoes, and for that moment I could be in yours. Yes, I wish for just one moment you could be in my shoes and then know what a drag it is to see you. What do you think of that lyric in a Christian? Secular, I think it's brilliant. But what do you think about a attitude if you're a Christian.
Well, that's a witness. And if you are happy and your life has changed, you wish that somebody else could experience the life that you're experiencing.
Okay, that's a very positive way of looking at it. What else? Any other?
Well, it happens sometimes.
Well, certainly it happens. You know, I used to sell security systems, Jim. And when I walk out of a house, every once in a while, I would say, you know, I really hope those people get broken into.
I don't believe you really thought that.
Neil? Well, despite what Sue tells you, I'm not perfect. Now we're going, who has number four? Because here's a prayer of David, and I've just wondered if you've ever heard this prayer from the pulpit.
Oh God, break the teeth in their mouth. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. Like grass, let them be trodden down and wither. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the untimely birth that never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, or the greener blaze, may they be swept, may he sweep them away.
And may they get broken into. Wow. First three Psalms are going pretty good, wasn't they? What's the first verse? Do what with their teeth?
Break the teeth in their mouth.
What Psalm is that?
Pardon?
That's Psalms 58, 6 or 9.
Now, I hope we don't hear that prayer in the 11 o'clock service.
But you did say that we don't know the chronology of these, is that correct?
Don't know the chronology. Well, how do you deal with that? Pardon?
I said, I'm good with it. It
well, I'm perfect with it, but you wasn't good with it when I said, I hope they get broken into. Well, see, that's where I get confused.
We have David's whole life.
Yes.
Your whole life, yes. But calling down curses on his enemies. he did that more than once.
Well, certainly he did. But this was pretty powerful. I hope somebody punches him in the mouth.
But this time, when they followed the laws of Moses and Aaron, so that was prophet then?
Well, it could be, but this is a guy after God's own heart. How do you deal with that passage?
You want to know personal answer how to deal with that passage?
Well, certainly.
Okay, hooray and hallelujah. He has a God that he trusts enough to say out loud what he's thinking and feeling, and then God can work with him.
Absolutely. Good thing I didn't leave this until 10 minutes after 11, because see, I'd have had to cut her off. But I'm not any. Absolutely, that's the lesson. You can say whatever's on your heart to God. You ever been hacked off at somebody? Have you ever just sat down with your wife, and certainly not me, this is not autobiography. It's not me. Oh, I learned that word one day. See, I've never sat down and said, you know, if I had my way, I wished 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 would happen. Have I, Sue? Thank you. Yeah, she knows me better. Say what you want to God. God's your friend. I go out to lunch with Charles about 3 times a month. And every once in a while, we talk about the lousy companies that don't appreciate us. You understand that, don't you, Bob? You work for not appreciated, how we wish, how they stay in business, and we just yak away at them. God's your friend. When I read the book of Job for the first time as a young teenager, I was shocked. Because all I heard growing up was Job was a great man of faith. Says, wished I was never born. Wished I died in my mom's womb. How could you let me be born, God? Why me? He asked all of these questions. As if anybody asked. But his conclusion was the correct one. I don't understand it all, but I know one thing. When it's all said and done, if you kill me, I'll still trust you. But my goodness, God wants us to tell. Well, He already knows what's in our mind. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. So do we think we're fooling Him? So here's David. He's really unhappy with a bunch of people. And he does what a lot of humans do. Lord, why don't you just kick them? Stomp on them. Run them over in the freeway. Let them know what a drag it is to see them. But his conclusion is correct. God's our friend. He just doesn't want to hear the good things. He wants us to express to Him what's on our hearts. Okay, number, where are we? Five. You got 150? That's the last one. Yes, number, whatever, I have five on there.
Psalm 63:1-5. Oh God, You are my God. I long for You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Yes, in the sanctuary I have seen You and witnessed Your power and splendor. Because experiencing Your loyal love is better than life itself, my lips will praise You. For this reason I will praise You while I live. In Your name I will lift up my hands. As if with choice meat You satisfy my soul, my mouth joyfully praises You.
Okay, very good. Here he is, a prayer. Knock the wicked around for me. I'm really unhappy with them. But when it's all said and done, he says, You're my everything. In fact, and I want you to, for the great people that put things in perspective, keep 1844 in mind when he says, I see You in Your sanctuary. I see what You have done in my life. And oh, how I yearn. Remember Guy Clark about that Randall knife? Oh, how my heart burned for that Randall knife. Because that was his daddy's. He wanted that. And David says, I've seen Your goodness. I've experienced Your goodness. I've seen Your kindness. I've seen Your forgiveness. And oh, how it's like when I'm out in the desert and I'm so thirsty, I long to be with You and You be in my life. His heart burned for that relationship with God. That's where we should be. Okay. What's the next one? What number was that?
Five.
Anybody got six?
I do.
Yes.
Psalms 115:4-8. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone can trust
in them. Okay. Now, can you imagine the heathen nations all around, and what did they worship? All kinds of idols. And how did they get these idols?
They made them.
Now, can you imagine, talk about Christian witnessing, the children of Israel going around with their singing band and singing this song. My, my, you all make your idols. By the way, your idols have eyes but can't what? You have noses and can't what? You have mouths and can't what? You got ears and you can't walk? What a powerful song. Now you would think, and I think it's Isaiah, I get him and Jeremiah mixed up. I think it's Isaiah that says about idolatry. You know, it's kind of crazy. You take a big piece of wood and you chop it in two, and part of that one wood you put in the fireplace to keep you warmer. The other part of the wood, you carve out an idol, and then you pray to the idol at night to protect you. Isn't that absolutely stupid? What idols in your life? Because I guarantee if you have an idol in your life, it's just as stupid. Now, you think a person that had any intelligence, when the children of Israel came along singing this song, you got an idol that you carved. It's got eyes but can't see, nose can't smell, mouth can't talk, ears that can't hear. You know, you think logic would say, hey, you know, this is kind of absolutely crazy. But sin doesn't allow that. Sin does not allow logical thinking. So what idol do you have in your life? Money? Power? Job? Prestige? Fun time? Let me help you. Try the fun time. That one don't work. What idol you have? Because whatever it is, it doesn't see, it doesn't smell, it doesn't hear, it doesn't talk, and it doesn't solve problems, it adds to the problems. Now maybe David, again, I don't know if they're in chronological order, I would doubt it. I like to think it is, though. It makes me happy. 150, last Psalm. And we're going to take the next 11 minutes and look at worship. But we're going to use Psalms 150 as our guide. Now, is that fair? Before we read it, is it fair to use one of the Psalms as a guideline for musical worship?
Sure.
Who said sure? Did you say sure?
Yeah.
Well, good. Leroy's the only one to go speak up. Hi, Ron, nice and slow. Are you reading from the clear word? Yeah, let me see if I like this guy's interpretation. Let's go. I want you to listen.
Praise the Lord.
Anything wrong with that?
No.
All right, we're in good shape so far. Praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, how do you praise Him? You ever been to a tent? Not so much now, but let's say, you big tennis fan? Next to you.
I'm about to be a player in my day.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know something about tennis. Was it about, you know, 30 years ago that you, when you went to a tennis match and there was a good play, you just went, is that about right? Because tennis is a refined sport. In golf? The guy's putting for $5 million and everybody's supposed to be quiet. He ought to be ecstatic because if he misses it, he only makes $4 million. Go to a cowboy game and they throw a 92-yard pass to, you know, let's go the real way. It's intercepted and ran back. Yeah. Does Terry just go, what do you do, Terry? jump up and shout and sing and hallelujah and high five. See, he's a Redskin fan.
I played a game with her, and she has a cowbell. And she'd stand up and ring that cowbell.
Oh, right. Way to go.
Stand on the streets.
Way to go. Why? Because she's ecstatic. She's happy. All right, so far praise is good. Read the next line.
Praise God in His heavenly sanctuary.
All right. Anything wrong with that? Boy, we're doing good. Keep going.
Praise Him, all you who live throughout the universe.
Boy, we're going.
Praise Him for what He has done. Praise Him.
Okay, let's stop there. To me, that's the key for worship. There's somebody, let's see, I'm trying to figure out how many people know him. I won't mention his name, David Burgle. Saved my life when I was 18 from drowning, because I still don't know how to swim. Long story, I'll just give you the bottom line. Saved my life. And then years later, David and I were in business, along with another good friend of mine, and we had a big falling out. Right, Mill? Well, see, Mill, he just lived with me. He got to go through all of this. Was a big falling out. Yeah, well, I didn't speak to him for 20 years. I guess that's... Yeah. I never did pray Nash's teeth in. My wife, he went on to own Birdwell Brewing Shop. His daddy started it, and he ran it. And I came home one time, and my wife had bought a Birdwell broom from Skaggs for $2.99, and guess what I did? What? No, sir. I made her take it back to Skaggs and get her money back. And my exact quote is, I'm not giving one penny to David Birdwell. Well, I saw him a few, couple, 2 or 3 months ago. Talked to him, shook his hand. It was very pleasant. He was very pleasant. Why was I very pleasant to him?
Got your money,
Patty. Why? Oh, I didn't forgive him. Why? No? How did I start the story out? You saved my life. That supersedes everything. Supersedes it all. God saved your life. Supersedes it all. When you come to this church, or any church, one of the reasons that you want to praise is what He's done in your life. That's your motivation. Keep going. So far, is Ron doing a good job? Okay.
Praise Him for the greatness of His power.
Alright, yeah, power. Not that He's so powerful. Power to do what in your life? To bring you to Him.
Praise Him with the sound of trumpets.
Uh-oh. Oh, trumpets are okay. Can anybody remember when trumpets were not okay? Can you? What church? Well, I know that. Which church? Tulsa. Trumpets were forbidden. Or not frowned upon. Oh, missionary work. Who can remember saxophones being a no-no? Oh, I absolutely remember that. Why? You can't play saxophone in the church because it's a what? Worldly band instrument. Alright. Now you're starting to muddle things. Okay.
Praise Him with the harps and instruments of strings.
All right. Any problems with that, Sandy? Any problems with the harp?
No problem.
No problem. How many of y'all have heard Sandy play the harp? Absolutely beautiful. I don't know why we don't hear that anymore in this church. Oh, I do too. But we should hear it. Yeah. How many want to hear it? It's beautiful. Yeah, I'm not big on classical music. I mean, Bob Dylan never wrote Fury Lease or Moonlight Sonata, but it's beautiful. So nothing wrong with strings. You know, just long as you didn't call the fiddle a fiddle and you called it a violin, you were in good shape when they had special music. Okay. Keep going.
What about the guitar and banjo?
I was going to say, guitar is a string instrument.
Hey, I stay away from controversy. How many of y'all ever heard Mike Perryman play his guitar? Oh, well, we're waving out the old people now. Yeah, beautiful. Right? Very beautiful. Used to play guitar solos. There's nothing wrong with a guitar. Nothing wrong with a banjo. Are you playing my mandolin? Okay, all right. I have a mandolin. Why do I have a mandolin? I wanted one. Can't play a note on it, so I lend it to Peter. See? Nothing wrong with stringed instruments, absolutely. Bible is my expert. Next.
Praise Him with timbrels and dance.
Uh-oh, stop there. Don't try to just go on over that one. No, no, no. What's a timbrel? That's kind of like a tambourine? Yeah, okay. Now, how many tambourines do you hear here in our church?
Not many.
Not too many. Well, Bob Dylan wrote a song, "Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man." See, Bob Dylan and me have a lot in common. And what was that last part?
Dancing.
And dancing. Now, fair question, because I only ask fair questions. What would motivate somebody to play a timbal and dance?
Joy.
What?
Joy.
Excitement? Excitement about what? That's an excellent one. Joy about what?
About the mighty works of God.
Absolutely. One of the passages I like is James White, stuffy old guy. Did he come down the center of a church aisle one time, skipping, laughing, and clapping? Today we'd say, well, what in the world got into him? Keep going.
Praise Him with harps and flutes.
Okay, back to harps. Harps are twice now. We're in good shape. Flute, very, very pretty. Ask Jethro Tull. He played the flute.
Praise Him with the clash of cymbals.
You know who he is? Hey! My respect went way up for you. Let me shake your hand. You don't know who Jethro Tull is? He does. That's good. All right, keep going.
It says, even with loud cymbals.
Uh-oh, with what? Loud cymbals. Not just old lousy cymbals. Loud cymbals.
And the final verse. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Okay. My answer on music's very simple. I love music. I think you've got that. When the music outshines the words and the meanings and the situations, I think we're in trouble. When special effects outshines the words and the meaning and what we're looking for, my personal opinion, I think we're in trouble. Let me tell you, if you're so moved by the word, the preaching, or the music that you want to stand up, raise your hands to heaven, you want to clap, you want to say amen, you want to say hallelujah. If you're so moved for what God's done in your life and you've just got to express it, then express it. See, One of the things I think we miss is God loves for His children to be happy. Don't like birthday parties when the grandkids come and they're very reverent. I like it when they squeal and holler and want more cake. And if they're 3 years old, they get it all over their mouth, just as long as Sue will clean it up. I want them to be happy. God wants us in His worship to praise Him for what He's done in our life. In our private devotion, share with us what's on our heart. In our public, do what moves you. Because I know one thing. There's times in my life when I'm so moved. Personally, I just want to say, God, I haven't thanked You enough. In whatever way I want to express that is between me and God. Never let the way we used to do things define worship. That puts us in a box. And if you haven't figured it out, in Zephaniah, they say when a soul accepts God, that He takes His crown off, gets off the throne, He claps, and He sings, and He dances. We expect nothing else of Him. Father in heaven, worship, interesting word, Your love, no doubt. Amen.